Good morning. It is good to be with you once again here at Faith Community United Methodist Church, where we are a safe space for exploring faith and building community. That's our vision statement. I hope you will begin to learn. It's right on the front of your bulletin. It's something that we want to live into. So I encourage you, often as you get to a bulletin in your hand, to look at it again till it gets into your head and start saying, how can I be a safe space for anybody I meet, especially if they end up being somewhere where you are identified as someone for faith community, you will be able to live into that. Also, I just want to say today, we're going to be thinking about how God is always with us, wherever that may be. As we are going through life, we are in the midst of all different kinds of things. But we're also supposed to be understanding that God is always at work. And as we bring ourselves closer to God, we will be able to see what God is doing. So even though we're in the midst of our own stuff, God is in the midst of doing God things. And we're called to be a part of that. So we got to find a way for us to meet where we are with where God is. And we'll be leading into that and just at least one way today. We'll continue to think about that as we go along. With that, I want us to turn to announcements. There's quite a few in here, but I'm going to touch on a few of them. First, we wanted to extend condolences to the Mary Carol Short family. Many of you know, I never had the opportunity to know the family, but we were notified this week that Mary Carol Short had passed away, and there will be something planned later in November when the family is prepared for that. Also, the kits, it looks like we had a really good response to our festival sharing kits, so we are grateful. Today is that last day for bringing those in so that we can pull it together and get it delivered to where it needs to be delivered. So if you still have something, maybe you can talk to Scott and Carol and they will make sure that they get what they need. Also, there's a study that Stephen Ministries is putting on, an opportunity to learn a little bit more about hospice, the myths, versus facts. So if that's coming up, and put that on your calendar if you want to be a part of that. And also, I just want to mention that the time of year where we're looking to bring people, connecting them through the ministries of the church, through the different committees and things and teams that we have. If you have never been a part of anything, we want you to be a part of something. And there are different areas, and there's the list of all the different teams and stuff are on the bulletin board that's on this side as you're going toward the offices. There's a bulletin board there. You can look to see all the different ways to plug in. And those are just the organized things. We invite you into other things all the time. But if you want to be a part of the leadership teams and things that are there, let me know so we can get you connected where you feel led to be a part of. And then coming up on October 5th is the World Communion Sunday. That's when all of the world comes together and they say we're going to have communion together on this Sunday. And as a part of that, the United Methodist Church has taken that as an opportunity for folks to kind of partner on a global scale with a special offering. And there's kind of like a two-parter to what that offering would go to. And that's listed in here. It's about education and about supporting people throughout the world. And making it a world of unity and inclusion. This is an opportunity for us coming up as a special offering. Just wanted you to be aware of it as you make your plans. With that, let us center ourselves on the Lord and begin our worship with our prelude.
Thank you. Good morning. If you are able, could you stand for the call to worship? God sees the hurt of all God's people.
Praise the God of our salvation.
God wants everyone to be saved.
Praise the God of our salvation.
God sent Jesus to give himself for all.
Praise the God of our salvation.
And we can praise the God of our salvation by singing "To God Be the Glory," which is a wonderful hymn by Fanny Crosby. It's number 98 in your hymnal and on the screens. Song. You may be seated. And our opening prayer this morning is printed in the bulletin. Let us pray together. God of our salvation, you see our world laid waste with false worship, injustice, and indifference, and we tremble at your anger. Only in your tears, born out of vast love, do we find hope. Open to us the way of your tears, the way that leads us back to your love. Teach us to serve you and you alone, that we may deliver, forgive, and renew our world at last. the children want to come up, that would be wonderful.
There you go.
Are we on? Okay. I'm not going to sit down this morning because I'm afraid I won't be able to get up.
That's why I sit here, Sandy.
I think that's a smart thing. Okay. Did you guys look at this screen? Did you see how the screens are changing? Isn't that neat? How it goes from one to another? Life is kind of like that. Life changes. And when I saw the bulletin, oh, here. It's got a butterfly and a cocoon on it. You see that? It reminded me of the butterfly story. I'm going to read you a story this morning about the butterflies. There was a boy who found a cocoon of a butterfly. One day, a small opening appeared, and he sat and he watched the butterfly for several hours as it struggled to force its body through that little hole. Then it seemed to stop making any progress. It appeared as if it had gotten as far as it could go and go no further. The boy decided to help the butterfly. He got a pair of scissors and he snipped off the remaining bit of the cocoon. The butterfly then emerged very easily, but it had a swollen body and shriveled up wings. The boy continued to watch the butterfly because he expected that at any moment the wings would emerge and expand and to be able to support the body, which would contract with time. But that didn't happen. In fact, the butterfly spent the rest of his life crawling around with a swollen body and shriveled up wings. It was never able to fly. So when the boy, in his kindness and his haste, did not understand that the restricting cocoon, the cocoon that held the butterfly in, and the struggle that was required for it to fly and to get through that tiny opening was God's way of forcing the fluid from the body into the wings, so that the wings would be strong enough for him to fly after he got out of the cocoon. Isn't that amazing how God had plans for the butterflies? So sometimes when life gets tough and we have to struggle for different things, we need to remember that struggling sometimes makes us strong, especially if we talk to God about it. And we will be strong enough to be able to fly through whatever comes next. Okay, let's pray real quick, and then you can have some treats. Thank you, God, for always being with us, no matter what kind of struggles we have. We thank you for walking with us always. Thank you for these children and the families that they come from. Guide them and direct them in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys. Okay, we're going to sing a song now. Let me get over here and see what it is. Oh, I need thee every hour. And we're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4. It's number 397 or on the screens.
Thank you.
as I was reading the words or singing the words of that song, I was convicted that I think we need to go into this time of prayer with an attitude of confession. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. O merciful God, we come to you as the body of Christ. The body of Christ that is meeting together here in Xenia, Ohio at Faith Community Church. Lord, we come here and with this song in my mind, I think about what we have just sung and what we say is that we need thee every hour. But Lord, my confession, and I just am thinking that it may be our confession, is that, Lord, we don't always believe that enough to do it. To really look for you and seek you in every hour. It is so easy for us to go about our day, our moments, our life in general, and seeing from a place of selfishness that I got this. I do this every day. I know where I'm going. I know the job I have to do. I know what it is around me. I just do it. Do I need thee every hour? The answer is yes. Lord, I ask that you would convict us in this moment to truly seek you in every hour. To find a heart that says, yes, Lord, I don't only need you, but I want to see where you are headed. Yeah, I got my things. But what are your things, oh God? If I don't need you, I will never know. So Lord, I want to need you in a way that draws me closer to you, and knowing that you are not only always there, but you are taking me somewhere. Not to be always where I am in the same attitude of life, the same heart. You want to create in me a new thing. A heart of mercy like yours. A heart of love like yours. A new vision like yours. Unless I need thee every hour, Lord, I will still be doing what I need and not what you desire. So Lord, open us to you. Draw us to you. Bring us together in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. In that we will see what you have, not only for me, but us. We are grateful for who you are, God, and how you are gentle with us. May your gentle spirit be an encourager for us in every hour. Let us now share the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray with a one voice, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Just a few weeks ago, if you remember, we had several folks that were up here. And then we brought up some, and we baptized four people and invited a couple others to be a part of our community. That was a beautiful day for us to provide a space for people to experience the means of grace that is in baptism. And we gathered around the table to have communion together. It is in who we are that allows this means of grace to be shared. And it is through our giving that this is possible. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Join in the prayer of dedication. You call us to be wise with our riches, O God, that your realm may be blessed for the benefit of all. May we be found faithful in a little, that you may entrust us to be faithful in much. We offer you these gifts in gratitude for your love. May they bring your healing and light to those within our reach. Amen. You may be seated. Nice to have you back, choir.
It's wonderful to have the choir back. Thanks, guys. The scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 79, verses 1 through 9. The nations have come into your inheritance, God. They've defiled your holy temple. They've made Jerusalem a bunch of ruins. They've left your servants' bodies as food for the birds. They've left the flesh of your faithful to the wild animals of the earth. They've poured out the blood of the faithful like water all around Jerusalem. And there's no one left to bury them. They've become a joke to our neighbors, nothing but objects of ridicule and disappointment to those around us. How long will you rage, Lord? Forever? How long will your anger burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations who don't know you, on the kingdoms that haven't called on your name. They've devoured Jacob and diminished his pasture. But don't remember the iniquities of past generations. Let your compassion hurry to meet us, because we've been brought so low. God of our salvation, help us for the glory of your name. Deliver us and cover our sins for the sake of your name. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Yes, you get me today. So a couple of months ago, really shortly after our grandson was born, almost 3 months early, too early, Jeff asked me if I would share the message today. He knew he was planning to go to a couple different training or educational opportunities that the conference was offering, and so that he wouldn't have time, obviously, to prepare a message for you. So I think I graciously and willingly accepted to do this. Though I felt very heavy at the time. Heavy from all of the things that have been going in our lives this year. It's been a hard year. I read the lectionary to see what passages were suggested for this week. And I read Psalm 79, what you just heard. It's a hard passage. It's a hard passage to read. But it resonated with me because of all the hard circumstances we were living through this year. My mom's death. The near loss of our granddaughter-in-law and our grandson. The struggles I've been experiencing with my own coaching business. And just the overwhelming feelings of loss in the midst of all of these circumstances. As I read it, and as I have been praying throughout these last several months for Arlo, I thought this message would be about our personal trials. The hard places of our individual lives, and finding hope in the midst of them. I even, you know, picked the picture of the butterfly, thinking, you know, I would speak about that. So thank you, Sandy, for picking up on that, because it's not in my message. But that was a good message to be shared. As I began to study and contemplate through this passage and began preparing this message, I realized it was actually more of a communal message, one for the church, for us as a whole. Yes, there's an individual side to that, but as a whole, the church, both on a large scale and us as faith community of Xenia, there is something we need together to recognize and respond. The title of the message is The Hard and the Hope, which is very much what we read in this psalm. Let me give you some context around this passage. First of all, it's a lament, and it was written after the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC by the Babylonians. And those who remain see the bodies of those destroyed being left. Most of the Israelites are now being moved into exile from Israel to live in captivity in a foreign country. Now, lament is a term used to express deep sorrow, grief, regret, disappointment about our circumstances or our situations. The psalm is expressing the state of the destruction to the nation of Israel. This is the hard place they are living in. The verses of the lament cry out for a variety of things: forgiveness, acknowledging how they had sinned against God. And it also displays their anger against those they blame for their destruction. It also pleads for their restoration so that God would be glorified. They find themselves in this place they don't want to be, and their home, Jerusalem, destroyed. They are living in a very hard place. Their lives have been completely disrupted, and they are struggling with the loneliness and loss of this new place they find themselves in. They are lamenting over the suffering they have and are enduring in the aftermath of Jerusalem's destruction. In some respects, it is a prayer of protest, an appeal to God's honor as well, as a desire for vengeance on the nations who have mocked God and his people. The psalm also asks the why of the situation. Why us? How long? Has God abandoned us? Why blame us? Why isn't it okay to blame others? Why, God, are you letting others ridicule and mock us? Finally, it appeals to God from the perspective of God's own name. They ask God to save them so God won't be mocked by those who don't believe in God. Now, does any of this sound familiar to you? Feel familiar? No, we aren't people living in the destruction of our homeland, at least not in the way that, you know, we're hearing in this passage. There are other countries, certainly in this world right now, that may feel this way, other people. But that's not exactly my point. I think we can all tap into the feelings that are being expressed in this passage. The feelings of fear, helplessness, abandonment, confusion, anger, rage, deep sadness, and loss. In a word, grief. We have all cried out at some point in our lives to the psalm, as the psalmist did, "How long, O Lord?" We've all experienced the tension of living in the hard circumstances of life, the disruptions. I described a few of my own earlier. It's in these moments, in these trials, we want relief, we want help, we want comfort, and often we want escape. This is true of where we have been as a church. Denominationally, probably beyond denominationally, but definitely denominationally, and as the church here in Xenia, we have been shaken by events over the course of time: the pandemic, disaffiliations, the loss of what once was. I've been told stories of how big this church once was, the ministries that were here, the various activities that went on, so forth and so on. This church is not alone. Other churches have experienced similar loss and disruptions. This is the grief. This is the lament. So, like the psalmist, we need to ask a few questions. First, what is our contribution to our circumstances? Have we committed sin against God? If so, have we repented? Is it possible that we have actually forgotten who God is and what God has done for us? Have we forgotten who we are? Have we lost our identity as the body of Christ and looked to the world instead of looking to God? When we quit seeking God first and loving God first, we need to repent. And it may be hard to hear, but just because we believe in God, show up on Sunday morning to church, like today, or some other time in the month, does not mean we put God first. We need to evaluate our priorities and discover what's really true. The next question: who is at fault for our destruction or our difficulties? Whom can we blame for what happened? We heard it in the psalm, right? They were blaming the people who destroyed them. I'm sure we could all come up with a variety of people or cultural experience explanations. From a pastor to the worship style, to the extracurricular activities that go on, like sports, to social media, you name it. We will find someone or something else to blame for our circumstances. This is part of our human nature. Often our anger and frustration, our desire for retribution is justified. However, it does not change our situation. Blame and revenge does not change the hard place. It often just keeps us stuck in place. Finally, where should our focus be then? When we find ourselves in the tension between the hard places and the hope we long for, where do we turn? This passage of lament expresses the feelings we experience and isn't wrong to acknowledge them, but we don't want to stay stuck in them. We need to look beyond our loss, our fears, and our desire to blame others, and instead change our focus from the hard place we find ourselves in to the hope that God offers us, to praise the one who has the power to change our circumstances, to put God first. The state of the church is similar to where the people of God found themselves, and it's closely connected to the story we find in Jeremiah 29. The circumstances we heard about earlier in this psalm, in this passage, are similar to, or the same as, the passage we find in Jeremiah 29. It was written near or shortly after the same period as this psalm. The message of Jeremiah came from God to the people who were now living in exile. Here's some of what it said. The prophet Jeremiah sent a letter from Jerusalem to the few surviving elders among the exiles, to the priests and the prophets, and to all the people Nebuchadnezzar had taken to Babylon from Jerusalem. The Lord of heavenly forces, the God of Israel, proclaims to all the exiles, I have carried off from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Cultivate gardens and eat what they produce. Get married and have children. Then help your sons find wives and your daughters find husbands in order that they too may have children. Increase in number there so that you don't dwindle away. Promote the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because your future depends on its welfare. Know the plans I have in mind for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for peace, not disaster, to give you a future filled with hope. When you call me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. When you search for me, yes, search for me with all your heart, you will find me. I will be present for you, declares the Lord, and I will end your captivity. God told them that he has a plan for them, to give them a hope and a future. God was protecting them, fighting for them. God wanted them to flourish, so God told them, focus on me. Seek me with your whole heart. Church family, friends, this is what God's message is to us. God acknowledges that our circumstances have been rough. They've been hard. We've experienced great loss. Life as we knew it is different. There is no going back to what we had. But, and this is a big but, God has a plan for us to flourish, to be new, to be restored in our relationship with him. We can together, as a church, in alignment with our God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, pray for God's abundant love. To search for God with all our hearts. And God will answer. God asks us to build and plant and promote the welfare of our community where we live, because our future depends on the welfare of our community. Our future as people of God, the body of Christ, and the church means we need to seek God first. Remember that God is not against us, and that we need to nurture what is before us. With this in mind, then, there are a few things I want to share with you and challenge you to do. First, Jeff mentioned, a couple weeks ago, his desire that we organize a regular prayer group. Let's call it the Church Prayer Partners, since we already have a church prayer team chain. And this group will specifically gather to pray for the church, the future of the church. I told him, I guess I volunteered to organize this. While we still are figuring out exactly when we will meet, but it will be a body of this church meeting to pray, to seek God first, to know God, and to ask for God's leadership in building and planting in our community. There's a sign-up sheet, I hope, out in our narthex, and I hope many of you will sign up to join us in this prayer endeavor. Next, many of you know we are in the process of seeking, interviewing, and hiring a director of outreach. This is part of the building and planting for our community. Each of us can pray individually for our corporate body, for this person, and the role they will play in our church and in our community. We also need to be ready to join with this director to achieve the plans that arise as we pray and gather. Meaning The director is going to be seeking and gathering information about our community, networking, and finding places for us to build and plant. But the building and planting will take all of us in partnership with each other to do the building and the planting. Finally, on a bigger scale, beyond Justina, our bishop of the Ohio Episcopal area of the United Methodist Church has challenged us, both the East and the West Ohio conferences, to start 100 new faith communities by 2029. This is not a small task, but it is not out of the power of God to make it happen. The conference, through the Office of Fresh Starts and New Beginnings, has organized district strategy teams that will be responsible for the discovery of the locations and places where these new faith communities might be planted. I'm on one of the district strategy teams for the Scioto River District. That's the one this church is a part of. We have been given a prayer to pray together as we do our discovery work. I would ask you to also be in prayer, praying this prayer for us and with us. I don't see this as work separate from our home church here. I also don't see this as any kind of threat to our faith community, but as an opportunity to join God in what God is doing all around us. These are three things to be excited about. These are things to be praying about. These are opportunities that God is giving us to partner together to make happen. To build houses, to plant gardens that we all can eat from together. To nourish and promote the community and communities all around us for the welfare and the benefit of the people in them. God's kingdom. The question then for you today, for all of us, is how will we respond? And where are we going to put our focus? Will our focus be on the hard and the tension of our circumstances, our past, or in God and the hope God promises? I hope and pray it will be on the hope. Now, you will notice, or you should have received when you were coming in, an extra piece besides the bulletin. And it has those three things laid out on them. I do want to comment that when it says the building and planting team, we're not actually organizing the team yet. We want to get the director in place, and then we will begin to, you know, let the director help us figure out how that's going to work. But we are all a part of that team. In the big picture of things, like I said, we all have to be a part of making, of doing the building and the planting. So to close, I want to ask you to stand up and join me in the prayer that I mentioned in the district strategy teams that we're praying. It is on that handout, but we also have it on the screen here. Stand if you are able. Join me in this prayer. God of possibility, you have placed us here for a kingdom purpose. Open our eyes to where you are moving in people, in places, and in unexpected opportunities. Give us courage to dream, humility to listen, and feet to act beyond the four walls of our churches. Help us to see unmet needs and signs of new life. Make us catalysts for change and bearers of hope in the name of Jesus. May your kingdom come through us, among us, and beyond us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
1 second. This week, while I was gone, I received an email from Brad Acock, who is the director of Fresh Starts and New Beginnings, and in charge of being part of this 100 new church communities in Ohio. But they're also looking at larger churches to kind of be a catalyst to share they're calling it Multiply Ohio. They're bringing larger churches together. And I got an email. You got an email that was invited us to be a part of that large church. If you look around, you might say, we're not a large church, because that's what I said to our district superintendent, who was here last week. And he said, I put you on the list. I saw the community you have, and I believe in you. Do we believe in us?
And
as we partner with God. But do we believe? Can we put our mind at a place that says, we are what we will become? So he said, bring three people with you who are leaders in the church that want to see this, to be a part of that discussion. I don't know who those three are. So be in prayer and share with me.
Now there is a balm in Gilead, and we will sing about it. It is number 375 in the hymnal and on the screens.
Thank you.
Friends, you heard the word preached to you today from a hard passage. Do we want to focus on the hard, or do we want to focus on the hope? Let's focus on the hope. Go in peace. In the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.